Oh, okay, so our sermon title today is Do You Want to Go Fishing?
Well,
I think some of those that were here when we first started and walked out and saw the fishing poles. So we're going to do a fishing expedition this morning.
All right.
So if you would stand with me and help me read Matthew 4, 18 through 22. And together, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You may be seated in the tabernacle of the word of the Lord, God's word for God's people. So our focal text for today will be taken from verse 19, when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Today's message deals with the physical and the spiritual side of fishing. So will you repeat after me? Do you want to go fishing? Ask your neighbor, do you want to go fishing? So I asked the question today. I know some people said, no, I don't want to go fishing. Amen. My husband wants to go every day. And I'm sorry, but I have to say, no, sir, not today. So do we have any other avid fishermen here today? I know we have Brother Craig Ross. I know we have Brother Ron Henry. Deacon Olin Moore. Now, Dr. Frazier, are you a fisherman? Okay, he didn't answer me. So that's okay. If I left anyone out, apply it to the head and not the heart. Amen. So when I was in seminary, it always intrigued me because as we did our dissertations, we had to go in and we had to go to the concordance to find out, like if we use certain words like today, follow me, I'd have to go and get the Greek word and we had to put different words in our dissertation. So I thought, well, for the journey this morning, I went to Strong's Greek concordance and I wanted to find out what are the words for follow me. Because we say, follow me, but that's not how Jesus said it. I wanted to know what our Lord and Savior actually said and the words he actually used. So the Greek words for follow me are akouotheo eme. Those are two words for follow me. And I want you to repeat them after me. Akouotheo eme. Amen. You actually said what Jesus said. That's so fantastic. So this morning for our fishing expedition, we have 6 points. So the first point is, why go fishing? Why do we have to go fishing? Physically speaking, fishing is a great sport. It's a great relaxation tool. You have the ability to meditate and enjoy the scenery, commune with nature. My husband's an avid fisherman. Our grandchildren call, "Papa, when are you going to come and get us so we can go fishing?" They're excited about fishing. It gives them a chance to unwind from all the fast-paced world that we live in. He also enjoyed the men's retreat because the men would fish around the cross. They look forward to fishing. He would take all the poles he has and all the bait and everything he's got, his fish and tackle box, and he'd go to the men's retreat and they'd all fish around the cross. What a blessing. But spiritually speaking, fishing is used as in Matthew 28, 16 and 20, which gives us the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's our task as disciples to go, just as Jesus did. Jesus called out Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John by saying, come, follow me. Isn't it interesting that the pre-disciples didn't know who Jesus was? They had no idea who he was, but this guy walks up on them and says, follow me, instinctively, immediately. They just followed him without a second thought. Just instinct was to follow Jesus. For the neighboring folks that lived around Simon Peter and Andrew and James and his brother, they knew them to be fishermen. That was their family business. However, Jesus saw a bigger picture of them being fishers of men. They already had the technique. So we know how the story ended for Simon Peter and Andrew, James and brother John. They followed Jesus without a moment of hesitation. This is how God, through Jesus Christ, brings souls back to him, going fishing, in order to prepare them for the ministry ahead. Some of the ministers and individuals here today know that when God called you, like Frank Sinatra, you were doing it your way. But it may not have been the time that you were ready to give up living the way you were living. But God knows the plans that he has for you. Jeremiah 29 and 11. So why go fishing? We've been commissioned to become fishers of men. The Great Commission is our guide. Our second point, where do you want to go fishing? And once you arrive, you have to pick the right spot. So when I'm driving out to the lake, I know we got about a 10 or 15 minute thing of riding around. My husband has to have the best place where he thinks the fish are. We'll sit there for 5 or 6 hours, even though he might not catch anything. But, you know, we obey as wives and go and park where he wants, not that far up or not go back a little bit. He's just very accurate in where he wants you to go. So physically, you want to go and find the best river, lake, or body of water. You can also go to the pay lakes like we do, and you can pay. Now, your ROI, your return on investment, might not be too good, because anymore when you go to pay lakes, you can't take your fish out. You're going just for the sport of it all. You catch and release. You catch and you release it back. Now, I don't know why he wants to pay $15 to do that, but hey, it's okay. It's a whiffum effect. What's in it for me? When we go fishing, we arrive on the lake and we have to ride around and ride around trying to find the right spot. Lord, where do you want us to fish? Spiritually, we go fishing wherever we are. It doesn't matter where we are. We can be anywhere or go anytime. It doesn't matter. For everyone we meet, wherever we are, is a chance for us to witness for Christ. Amen? Because if we don't witness for Christ, who else is going to do it? They're begging the question, what must I do to be saved? They don't have their own answers. It's for us as Christians to be the witness that God has called us to be. We need to fish daily for Jesus to find those souls that are lost. When we serve a God who's on the clock 24/7, 7 days a week, never closed, never sleeps, always willing, able and ready to help you. We don't have to worry about time constraints or picking the perfect spot. So the question stands, where do you want to go fishing? Point number three, Reverend Jackson, prepare to bait your hook. He went ahead and baited the hook earlier before we left, so thank you. Thank you, Brother Eason. You want to stand up and show him your fishing pole? Not you yet, Reverend Allen, not. I wanted to make it clear to you, amen? So I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little worm, not a real one, because those are the worms I use. I don't touch the real ones. Those that now their poles have been baited. Thank you, sir. So at this point, we have to physically bait our hook. You can use worms, night crawlers, chicken liver, catawba worms, leeches, crickets, cherry chicken, catfish bait, or as some fishermen call it, dough ball. Oh, shrimp. Thank you, sir. Shrimp. Funny story. So, this was years ago. We go down Springfield Street, and my husband has this great idea, fisherman mind. Let's pick up some crickets. And I'm thinking, how are you going to put a little cricket? I just get so antsy about stuff like that, putting it on a hook. And so we go, and he gets this whole box of crickets. Well, he didn't know the top wasn't on well. So in the back of our Chevy Caprice Classic, we had the cricket noise for 2 or 3 weeks until they died out. Because, there's no way you could catch them all. They were just under the tires, and they were just all over the trunk. And I was like, great, Willie Jackson. But, spiritually, in order to bring more people to Christ, we carry our cross and not a fishing pole. We have to bait our cross with love, compassion, joy, peace, sympathy, empathy, kindness, understanding, and above all, patience. This is why we have so many churches that are dying, because they're not interested in fishing. They're not willing to go beyond their comfort zone. But the word tells us the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So the fourth point, Brother Allen, you have to prepare to cast your net. Just throw it out there. There you go. Amen. Amen. Can we give him a hand? That was fantastic casting. So Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they were physically casting their nets. In order to catch fish, you have to either use a fishing pole, a cane pole, which is used to catch crappie or bluegills, or you can cast a net. I think that's called, is that called netting if you try to get a fish with a net? You're not supposed to do that. That's against the rules. So spiritually speaking, when you prepare to cast your net, that's done by the way of inviting others to follow Christ. It's our witness to cast. Casting is synonymous with our spoken language. Our mission is to invite others. That's how we cast our nets, by our invitation. Casting the net gives us our marching orders, and it's our duty to get the lost souls. Casting the net is God's vision for filling the church. If we got that casting net going and we're ready to invite, God's standing there waiting. He's waiting for what that person's going to say, and he's looking at how we invite and what we're going to do. Who else but God's people will go into the trenches and get those that are crying out? Are you ready to cast your net for Christ? Are you ready to help God's kingdom here on earth? The church, the choice is yours. So we have to prepare to mend our net. Brother Allen, can you stand up and show them how you mend a net? Oh, okay, amen. He's mending his net. Did you notice in verse 22 that when Jesus called the brothers James and John, they were mending their nets? Let's go a little bit deeper. Simon Peter and Andrew were casting their nets, and John and James were mending their nets. Their lives were about to embark on who would include casting and mending. Physically, when our nets become so full of fish, they begin to rip because of the overflow. It becomes worn, it has to be mended. In the art of casting, you have to hold the pole in your hand and firmly cast the net where you want it to go. Amen? Do we have that picture? Casting our nets. Amen. Spiritually, some of the individuals that you will go out and witness to have broken nets, broken hearts, broken families, broken lives, brokenness. They bring their baggage with them because they have not yet learned they don't have to carry their baggage. That's why it's so important for Christians to go forth and witness. Jesus is the fixer of brokenness and where to cast your net. Their inability to cast properly and brokenness could possibly be due to the way they live. The people had maybe going in the wrong direction. But although their nets needed mending, and although they need a new direction, doesn't mean God cannot use them. Broken nets can be restored, renewed, rebuilt, recreated, reconstructed, renovated, and revived. Because Tasha Cobb says, there's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's here for me. Huh. There's a breakthrough in this room. There's miracles in this room. But you have to put a praise on it. Let me make this personal. Did the Lord maybe have to mend you before you came to church? Before you came and joined Tabernacle? Maybe after your fall like Humpty Dumpty, the Lord had to put you back together again. The Lord can clean you up, turn you around, and plant your feet on not just solid ground, but holy ground. Because at that point, wherever you walk with God in your heart, you're on holy ground. There comes a time when everybody, as Michael Jackson stated, has to look at the man in the mirror. And when God calls you out and asks you, are you ready to go fishing? You won't think twice about it. Our sixth and last point, get ready for the big catch. Get ready for the big catch. I'm going to talk about you again, dear. And my husband, when he was doing insurance, medical insurance, he had to come up with a slang phrase. And for some reason, the big catch came out. And everybody's like, Willie, that's you, the big catch. So it's just so interesting how God takes words and he just can use them in a sermon. Amen. So physically, when we're ready to cast our net or our fishing pole, it's time for the big catch. Spiritually, when it's time for the big catch, we do our part by the invitation, by the inviting, by nurturing that relationship with the person that we're calling in. John 12 and 32 informs us that if we lift God up from the earth, he will draw all men unto himself. The big catch belongs to God. We just have to do our part of inviting and being the witness for Christ. So, Pastor, why should I go fishing? You're not fishing with me. You're fishing for God. I'm just the messenger. God's word tells us that he knows the plans that we have. He already has planned out what we're going to do. God can turn an ordinary person into an extraordinary person. He can take a broken vessel and rebuild and renew it and repair it so that it looks brand new. God can take a poor black lawyer raised by an African father and a Caucasian mother and make him president of the United States. God can take a woman born of an Indian mother and a Jamaican father and make her the first Asian American to hold the office of vice president of the United States. The Lord can take your world and turn it upside down, inside out, and once was a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So I ask you, do you want to go fishing? Remember, the word doesn't say, pick up your pole and follow me. It says, pick up your cross and follow me. There's a saying that says, give a man a fish and he eats for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, he eats and he becomes a fisher of men. So let's join Christ today and become fishing men and women for God's kingdom. And I pray you have a safe and forth blessed July. Amen. 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 Amen.